This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Hey everyone, Logan Medish of High Caliber History and the host of the No Low Ballers podcast here. If you're passionate about firearms, accessories, and everything in between, there's one place you need to check out, GunBroker.com. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or just browse, GunBroker is the world's largest online marketplace for firearms, ammunition, and all the gear that you need. It's a trusted platform that connects buyers and sellers across the U.S., offering everything from rare and collectible firearms to the latest models. Plus, with a wide range of accessories, parts, and ammo, GunBroker.com is a one-stop shop for gun enthusiasts of all kinds. So whether you're an experienced gun owner or you're just getting started, make sure to visit GunBroker.com to find exactly what you're looking for. And don't forget, you can also tune in to our No Low Ballers podcast to hear more about the history behind your favorite firearms, sponsored by GunBroker.com.
Hi, everyone. everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the No Low Ballers podcast. I'm your host, Logan Medish of High Caliber History. As always, Alan Forkner from Gunbroker, trying to keep me in line, which is a little more difficult to do today because we've got the show on the road.
We've invaded someone else's studio.
We have, yeah. If things look better and more professional, it's because they are better and more professional.
So you guys have a nice studio.
Yeah, so we are actually, if you saw one of our previous episodes, we had Ryan Gresham from Gun Talk on, and that's where we're at today. We are in Louisiana at the Gun Talk studio at the Range Ready facility for Lever Fest, which is all things lever guns. So it's kind of a bit of a throwback in the episode today. And you can't have lever guns and lever fest and all that without triggers. And you got to have good triggers. And that's why our guest today is Chris Ellis, Vice President of Marketing from Timney Triggers.
Yep. Thank you guys for having me. I love to talk triggers and I love to be down at this event. Gun Talk does a phenomenal job and I'm glad to be invited.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, Timney's got an awesome history, you know, and people tend to think of Timney just as, you know, well, not just as, but people tend to think of Timney as, you know, hunting triggers and precision triggers and things like that, but that is so outside of the realm of where you guys began.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating story. So if you take it back to 1946, is when Alan Timney started Timney Triggers. And if you think about Americana, American manufacturing, what was happening is we just came back from a war, right? So everybody was bringing in service rifles, Mausers, Enfields, Springfields, and we were proud, right? We
just were.
So a lot of people, I mean, my grandfather had a lot of old Mausers. I still have several at the house there, and I haven't touched them. You'd be proud of me.
You're a good man, Chris.
Yeah, I haven't touched them. I've always wanted to, but I was like, this is the way granddaddy gave it to me. So what they really wanted to do is that they wanted to take these service rifles. They wanted to go deer hunting.
Sure.
Right? And they were proud. They wanted to show off and camp and that kind of stuff. And again, it was a wonderful time in American history. But they knew they needed to become more accurate.
Yeah.
So they reached out to Alan and said, hey, can you think of a way to help us become more accurate with this? There's only one reason to replace a trigger, right? That's for accuracy.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Some guns doing something.
Well, it's the connection between the shooter. Yeah, it's on your cheek and shoulder. Yeah. Really, it's the connection between the shooter and the gun. If the trigger is rough, everything's just that much more challenging.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Alan created what we still use today as a drop-in trigger, easy to install with kitchen counter, tabletop. You don't need a gunsmith. And he made it for Enfields and Mausers and Springfields, and they were adjustable for 2 to 4 pounds and. They helped these men and women become more accurate so they could go deer hunting. That was the foundation of Timney. That's where it started.
And that's a damn sight better than, you know, the 12 to 14 pounds that they probably were originally in their government-issued status.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you can learn on any trigger, but if you have a repeatable trigger and a trigger that breaks the same way twice, you could hit the same place twice. And what Alan Timney knew was that you could really shorten that learning curve. Because it almost becomes a mental decision instead of a physical decision. Nothing, all the physical is out of it.
Sure.
Right? So now your brain calls for that shot, whether you're a competition shooter or a hunter. I'm primarily a hunter. And I see that elk out there at 300 yards. I practice there. Now it's just a mental decision. Take that shot.
Right.
So all the grittiness and the creep and the take up and all the things that make triggers not ideal, he took that out of there.
Right.
You know, so they get very used to that muscle memory of being able to become very, very accurate with that service rifle and go deer hunting.
And what's really impressive to me is, you know, it's 1946, you know, we're dealing with firearms that were, you know, mass produced in factories, right? And using all sorts of specialized tooling for the assembly of all the parts of these guns, including the triggers.
And not always by gun people either. I mean, you
right,
sewing
right.
machine companies, you got all
tolerance is all over the place.
Exactly. All right. over the place.
Yep.
And yet, so you can take that, you know, that baseline, and Alan Timney creates a trigger that is drop-in and basically dummy-proof.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's a huge departure. You know, I mean, there's still tons of stuff today that you need a gunsmith to do,
sure.
you know. But the idea that in 1946, you know, we've got an aftermarket drop-in trigger that anyone can install, I mean, that's really game-changing at that point.
Phenomenal brain back then. Just think about that, you know. Back then, there was no aftermarket trigger.
Sure.
You know, and if you look at Timney's history, like some things that are kind of milestone, Remington 700 came out in 1962. Well, in 1965, our customers started asking, can you guys make a replacement trigger? You know, So think about that. We've been making Remington 700 replacement triggers. Now they're clones or whatever we call them nowadays.
Right.
You know,
for 60 years.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And that was a budding industry. And in fact, when I started back in 2005, 20 years ago, you know, it was still a very, very small. There was two or three trigger companies back then, very small niche companies. You kind of had to find them or know somebody that knew somebody that, mm-hmm. and everybody had good little triggers and good customer service, and machining was what it was back then. And that was the industry I walked into. So I'd have to call a gun writer or you guys, the media, and say, hey, do you ever think about replacing a trigger? No. You know, Ellis, every gun comes with one. Yeah. And you know, your all's triggers, you know, they can be on a little bit pricey if you think about the price of the gun. And then I talk about the benefits of why good triggers matter, mm-hmm. why accuracy matters, why it really improves. It's fun, right? Yeah. Having an accurate gun is fun. Right. Whether you're a competition shooter, backyard plinking with a .22, or somebody like me that's dedicated their whole life to hunting.
I mean, only accurate rifles are interesting, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, you figure, okay, so we talk about price, right? Well, what if you're on, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime hunt? You know, you spent 15 years yep. waiting to be able to draw that tag, and now you're there, and it is the moment of truth, and your trigger is the weak point in your shot. Like, bet you're wishing you spent a little bit of extra money and had a better trigger in your rifle.
Absolutely.
You know, because in a situation like that, you're not going to get another chance.
Or when, you know, when the gun market is soft or the economy is soft or whatever you want to talk about, you know, if you have old Betsy sitting over in the corner and you've put a new scope on it and you've worked up a hand load or you've got a pet load that works really, really good, but you don't want to go buy a brand new rifle. You just want to tune up one that you have.
Sure.
Right? A trigger is an easy place to start because it can make it feel totally different.
A new trigger is kind of accuracy in a box. If you get a good, clean trigger in there, it just automatically is going to make your groups tighten up. And, you know, you talk about the cost. Sure, it costs a little bit more, but if the only option you really had before that was to have a Smith work on your trigger, yep. that's not inexpensive. And I think the thing we tend to overlook on these a lot is that word drop-in. It's in and out. You don't need a gunsmith. But here's the thing. It's also repeatable. So if you drop one into your Remington 700, and drop one in your Model 70 or drop one in another 700 or a different caliber, yeah. those triggers are going to feel pretty close to identical. Sorry, great. There are great gunsmiths out there, but you send all three of those in, have them work on them, they're probably not going to feel as precisely the same.
Right.
And if you're going to work on, you know, getting your memory down for one trigger pull, if you can apply it to everything in your safe, I mean, that's just...
Yeah, some people don't have access to gunsmiths on every corner. So then you got to think about, you know, you got to ship your rifle, it's going to take some time.
And money.
And money. Yeah, and if you could just take a really dead nuts, crisp drop-in trigger, and most people could take a barrel action out of stock, you know, because we were granddaddy's bolt gun for a long, long time.
And sure.
All that changed in the early 2000s. But yeah, if you could take a barrel action out of a stock and you could knock two pins out and put a trigger in there and put those two pins back,
right?
It's pretty easy, you know?
Well, and you mentioned, I think it's a great spot for us to pivot into it, you know, talking 20 years ago with everything changing, of course, that's, you know, about the same time you come on board at Timney, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, how the market has changed. I mean, obviously I know you guys still do a ton in the hunting space, but really, you know, in the sporting gun world and the competition world, you guys are doing a ton of stuff in that space that, you know, 20 years ago, we weren't necessarily thinking like that.
Absolutely.
So what has that market change and market share been like?
So if you think about the early days of Timney's all the way up through there, it was primarily a bolt gun company. And it was primarily hunting. Back then, there wasn't a whole lot of competition, long-range shooting. You know, there was some three-gun and two-gun type things, but not like it is today.
Sure.
Right. But still, people wanted to find accuracy. So about 2004, 2005, we our customers... This is the magic behind Timney. Since I've been there 20 years, we constantly ask our customers, what triggers would you like for us to build next? It sounds silly and simple, but that's where all these triggers came from.
A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people have read that.
None of us can take credit for any of the triggers that Timney's came out with the last 20 years because our customers asked for it.
Sure.
So one of the things they asked for, if you remember in early 2024, 2025, the AR craze was kind of a starting to pick up a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and we looked at that, and it was a complicated trigger because we're cassette trigger people, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And we looked at that, and Calvin Motley, who you met here, he took a look at it, and he came up with a gold standard AR-15 drop-in trigger,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was really simple. You take all the parts out, put this one in, tighten everything up, And that changed Timney. That was one of the pivotal moments, because all of a sudden, a lot of your different, not, you had bolt gun people, but then you had people that are gas gun people, and they were really, I remember getting the emails, they were like, Timney, you made something for this platform that I'm really, you know, I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
Right? So that kind of changed everything. So that led into, okay, now we can do semi-automatic gas guns, and then it was a 10-22, and then it just keeps on going and going and going.
Sure.
But you not only changed as a company at that point, I mean, Timney kind of changed the market, because, you know, up until that point, unless you were a bench rest shooter or a bullseye shooter, you probably didn't monkey around with your trigger.
Right? Didn't think you needed to.
No, of course not. It's a trigger. It is what it is. And now you can't buy, you know, a rimfire or even a handgun or really any type of long gun without thinking, all right, well, what have I got to do to the trigger? You know, who am I going to drop in there? Because, well, this is a factory trigger. Nobody shoots a factory trigger.
Yeah.
So we've, you know, you've basically helped create a world of trigger snobs.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I can look back at my career, Timney, the guy that told everybody about, you know, why triggers matter. Now, we've got a lot of help along the way, don't get me wrong. I mean, but yeah, it was the fact that it was a very, very small market back there, very niche market back there, and it has become in vogue. Thanks to people like you, people who want to, you know, they'll call in and say, a couple years ago, they said, hey, can you make one for a Glock? Can you make a Timney for a Glock? Well, we've never been in handguns before, but we took a look at it and we came up with, you know, and it's been highly popular ever since. And we just shotgun, same way. You know, I got a lot of turkey hunting guys, and, you know, during that time when slug hunters were a lot of Midwestern guys because of that's the only thing they could use, and then you had trap shooters, and I'm a diehard turkey hunter. You know, when you're taking a shotgun, which is an imprecise weapon, if you think about it, that's what it was done. That's why its patterns are so big.
Sure.
But then you want to start treating it like a precision rifle, you know, whether it's slug guns, trap shooters, or turkey hunters, then accuracy matters.
Absolutely.
And a good trigger pull that breaks the same way every single time, the life of that trigger, you can get very, very quick muscle memory. I never will forget the first turkey hunt I did with a, we call it the 870 trigger fix back then. And it was just a sear that you could put in an 870.
What model did that come? Oh, the 870. Yeah,
right. The 870.
No, I think that must have been the Mossberg 500. That was one, right?
We get that request all the time. All
do
the
you
time.
Guys make one for the 500?
No, not yet.
But
yeah, you're right. So whatever the latest and greatest, you know, this, a lot's changed in the industry. Now we call them platforms or whatever. People will buy a gun. A Ruger American Gen 2 is a great example. Right? Mm-hmm. Fine shooting rifle for a price point. Mm-hmm. They'll take that and they'll build whatever they want to.
Sure. Either
they'll take the barreled action out of the stock. Maybe they leave the stock. They started, our phones started ringing like crazy. Hey, we'd like to have a replacement trigger for that. Mm-hmm. And then nowadays, it used to be single staged and curved, right? Now it's, I want a two stage. I'm a two stage guy and I want a straight trigger. I want a curved trigger. I want a nickel plated one. I want a, you know, a blue one. I want colors for my race guns or for my ARs or.
Yeah, you know, it's like the 80s, you bought a 1911, looked at it in the box and shipped it right off to be worked on. Nowadays, you go buy a rifle and you're like, well, I'm going to pull the stock off. I'm going to put a new trigger in that one. I'm going to send the bolt in to be jeweled. I mean, it's right. just what we do.
That's what's the fun. I mean, we just keep reinventing stuff in the firearm. We're very blessed with modern technology in the firearms world and modern ammunition and that kind of stuff, modern machinery. But yeah, I mean, if you look at what an AR or a Glock or a 10-22 or now a bolt gun, you know, there's chassis guns they're building and the precision long range shooting they're building, and hunting rifles that I carry look a lot different than, I still love Blute and Walnut. Don't get me wrong.
There's something so
I love a sporting rifle about, you know, as light as you can get it. But no, that's exactly what they're doing, because you have ownership in that firearm. You
sure.
can build it exactly the way you want it. And with the industry right now, there's all kinds of different options.
Absolutely.
You know, whichever way you want to go. To build exactly, you know, and then, you know, things change. Next thing you know, you might want to put it back in an old walnut stock or get a good piece of glass. Who knows? But that's Timney's evolution was just 100%. And I know it sounds so silly, but we keep a thing even to this day. What trigger would you like for us to build next? We look at it every Tuesday in a new product development packet team that I'm on. And, you know, once it reaches a certain threshold, and it's kind of a good pulse on the industry.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember one time when I did this, I sent out a press release on what trigger would you like for us to build that next. And the responses came in, you know, really, really deep. But the bulk of those were from Mosin and Gant.
Okay.
No, I've shown a Mosin. I can understand the desire to have a better trigger.
And I was like, okay, a Mosin and Gant. Was it the sniper book that came out? Was something was driving this? Was there somebody found a con? I don't know. I don't know where they came from. But we built a trigger for that, and for several, many years, that was one of our top-selling triggers, was a Mosin Nagant, which is just like a Mauser.
Right.
In the Springfield.
Sure. Yeah.
Is it?
Generic Milsurp rifle at this point.
But I would have never, nobody attending would have ever thought of that.
Right. Sure.
You know, it's not our world. It's not our bubble.
Right.
You know?
But in an interesting thing, it almost kind of is. It almost kind of takes you guys back to the roots.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the bring back guns that the guys, you know, double cut and stuffed in their bag and brought home. And, you know, it is interesting that's one of the more recent things that people have wanted, because I personally, I've got a Mosin. It's actually, it's a Remington made Mosin, which is, you know, a whole story in and of itself. But I would never think to change the trigger on that. Now, I mean, I personally wouldn't, because I'm the history guy and
right.
I don't, you know. But even if I wasn't, it was just as a shooting thing. Like, I can't fathom being like, you know what, I really want an aftermarket trigger in this. Like, that's just not something that I would think of that there would ever be a market for. And so that's just fascinating to me that not only, you know, you didn't have one guy right in.
No.
Enough and people.
They were passionate. They were like, please enter this, you know, solidify what we're trying to do. And nowadays, if you look at the firearms that are really, really popular, it's because there's aftermarket accessories that are supporting that.
For sure.
Used to be back in the day when you bought a handgun, you wanted like a Crimson Trace laser or light, and you wanted a Galco to build a holster. You wanted to be able to really flesh this thing out the way you want it. Well, it's even more so now.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of these aftermarket companies are really driving pretty cool innovation from your stock guys, your trigger guys now. And it just absolutely makes it fun when you get to think about, okay, what firearm do I want to build next?
Right.
Not one that I want to buy on the shelf and hand it down to my grandkids' grandkids,
right.
which is perfectly fine, what I'm going to do. But a lot of people be like, okay, I really want to build. I want to Lego this thing together. And they start looking at all the parts and accessories that are out there for them.
Sure.
And it's phenomenal. It's fun. Why not, right?
I mean, and you're right on it. When I have people come up and ask, hey, I want to get into firearm ownership. I want to buy my first gun. What are some things I should look for? And, you know, you recommend the right calibers for what they're looking for, the right type of firearm for what they want to do with it. But honestly, one of the criteria I've started putting in there is, you know, here are some brands to look at, because everybody makes parts for them. Everyone makes holsters for them. Everyone makes, you know, triggers for them. So that's become part of the judgment criteria as you're helping people kind of get into the sport. It's, you know, you buy this one that's really nice, but good luck finding all this stuff for it. So you're going to keep it the way it is. And as you learn and get better, you're going to want some of these, you know, options to upgrade.
Oh, absolutely. Well, look what we've been looking at the last couple of days. I mean, I grew up, my first center fire rifle when I was a young kid was a Marlin 336 chambered in 30-30 Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me through I'm a deer hunter, so it took me through high school and into college. That was the gun that I used, you know, to go deer hunting with on granddaddy's farm and with my dad and my brother and my kids and my niece and nephew. That was their first gun to take a whitetail deer with. Well, now, you know, all of a sudden, lever guns, you're getting to see. There's stocks, there's chassis, there's all kinds of
trail system, lights. Well, yeah. I have to tell you, what blew me away today, listen, I've built AKs, I've built ARs, I changed triggers and barrels and chassis in a lot of guns I own. I would never have cracked open a lever gun until today. But, you know, I watched, you know, your guys out there and the Range Ready guys break apart a lever gun and swap out the entire trigger in about 10 whole minutes, and it looked so...
Yeah.
So much easier. I mean, to me, I think you said it earlier, you don't take it apart because that lets the magic out.
Right.
But they cracked it open and just dropped it right in.
Who has muscle memory of taking a lever gun apart?
Right.
Yeah. Right?
A few and far between.
If I ask most people, most consumers, can you take a barrel action out of a 700 or out of a bolt gun? They're like, yeah, I can figure that out. Or can you take an AR, a 10/22? Does that seem like it's a steep learning curve? And they'll be like, no, YouTube and everything, what you guys are doing.
Sure.
I mean, people share all the time.
There's a wall of specialized tools to do it at your local Cabela's.
Yeah. You know,
today they needed a screwdriver. Well, two screwdrivers, but that's just because he was precise about the screws.
But when we looked into that lever gun, again, this came from our customers 100%. And I was kind of like, yeah, let's go. This is right up my alley, right? I'm a lever gun guy from way back. I mean, I've hunted, been fortunate enough to hunt all over the country with lever guns, and I still hunt with them today. But I'd never taken part.
Right.
You know, when Calvin started designing it, and I was like, how tricky is it? And he goes, it's not tricky, it's just different. Right? It's
that's
one of those things.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's kind of like putting, you know, a gas grill together for the first time or whatever. You know, it's a little bit of a learning curve, but once you've done it once, you saw it. It's not that difficult. It's just different parts than what we're used to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and that was what's been so great about being out on the range earlier today is that, you know, we were shooting lever guns that have their stock triggers in them. Yep. So we're shooting stuff from Ruger and Marlin and Smith & Wesson. And then we're also shooting stuff that has Timney triggers in it. And so it's really cool to be able to shoot them side by side, literally one right after the other, and see just what a difference just swapping out a trigger makes.
Yep.
And it's amazing because, you know, it wasn't that many years ago where you just, you're like, well, yep, this is my lever gun. This is the trigger that it has.
It'll smooth out after 10,000 rounds.
Yeah. Right.
And honestly, you know, you make a good point, but today, you know, the Marlins, the Smith & Wessons, the guns we're shooting today, the factory triggers pretty doggone good.
Oh, they're for sure.
But then you picked up the Timney, and it's like, you know, you still notice a difference.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, the floppy trigger goes away. And
yes.
Folks, remember, no one wants a floppy trigger.
No one wants a floppy trigger.
Yeah, yeah, but they have stuff for that now.
Yeah, Timney.
Well, look at the Marlins. I mean, I looked at them really, really close today. Again, I've got a lot of muscle memory and a lot of thoughts of Marlins, and my Marlins, a 1980 model, something in there, older one, right? Look how clean the lines are and how nice they're being manufactured. I mean, they're putting out better Marlins now than ever.
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of it. I think there's a lot of reasons that we've, you know, theorized over the resurgence of the lever gun, but at the end of the day, they're just beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
I mean, the design of the lever gun, they're sleek, they're slender, they have beautiful lines, usually gorgeous wood. So, no, I agree with you. There were some of those out there, especially some of the new Savages that are coming out. They're just beautiful guns.
Yeah. Yes. And not only about them being beautiful, but with all the aftermarket stuff that we've seen with, you know, like the Dark series and the Stealth series of people, you know, making them tactical and putting rail and slots and everything on it, we've realized that you can actually have and some people may think it sounds dumb, but a tactical lever gun is a thing. And it's a very popular thing. Yes. And I get it. And there are people who will argue about it all day long online. We may even have some people who chime in the comments and tell us we're wrong. Happens all the time. But tactical lever guns are a thing. You know, whether you like it or not, they're here. Mm-hmm. And they're popular because people are buying them. Like, you know, Marlin wouldn't be putting out a Dark series. And Smith & Wesson wouldn't be putting out a Stealth series.
With a straight trigger.
With a straight trigger. Yeah. If people weren't buying it, right? Yeah. And so, you know, people can poo-poo the idea of a tactical lever gun all day long, but it's here, and it's here to stay, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when we first came out with the Marlin, it was a blue. We had come out with the blue for the traditional classic Marlins, and we came out with a stainless version for the new modern, you know, stainless jobs. And we came out with a curve, and then next thing you know, will you make a straight trigger, you know, and yeah, I mean, we got to listen to you. You're the one that got us this far.
So sure.
Next thing you know, it was a straight trigger. Then when we came out with Smith & Wesson, we just came out with that a couple months ago, we came out with a straight shoe. That's what people would ask for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you see a flat face or straight trigger, and you kind of were programmed to think, well, that's somebody else's trigger. It may say Smith & Wesson on the side, but that's not their trigger. Yeah. So I think that's probably part of that. And honestly, I love flat face triggers.
You know, I do too. Yeah.
If you're going to do that precision long range stuff or any of that kind of stuff. It just makes that pound. It just makes it feel. It's so much positive on that thing.
And it's so consistent, too.
And it is so consistent.
It's not, you know, on a curved one, where you put your finger kind of determines what your trigger pull is. On a flat face, it still impacts it, but it's way less. It's much more
intense. Yeah. Now, we're blessed in today with so many different aftermarket trigger companies and manufacturers talking about triggers and you guys talking about. Because you got to remember, when I first started talking about Timmy, no one was talking about triggers. I mean, you'd read a gun review and it wouldn't even say anything about the trigger. Yes. You know, I remember the first gun review I read that said, you know, pull weight or creep or over travel. And I was like, these are deep into Timney terms, right? You know, people are talking about, I want a quick reset. You know, I want over travel to be as small as possible for, you know, follow through. I want zero creep. And I was like, man, this is the glory days in the range
right now. This is us,
baby. This is us. So anybody talk about triggers, I'll shake their hand because a rising tide floats all boats, and that's what the consumer's looking for.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's just a little bit of ownership. I did something to this gun to become more accurate with this firearm, to have more fun, or to feed my family, or win a competition, or plink in the backyard. Yeah. You know, it's as simple as that.
Yep.
So.
Well, I think we've proven that if the customers want something, Timney listens.
100%.
And so I say to all of you out there who are watching and listening, if there's something you'd like to see, reach out to Timney through their social media or what, you know, reach out to them, let them know what you want, because it, we have proven in our discussion today, it's not just going in a black hole.
No,
you know,
if it's got a trigger on it, we're looking at it, I promise you.
So you're saying the gyrojet trigger is in development?
I mean, if it's a Windex bottle or a WD-40 cane, we're looking at it. Now, we need a little bit of help because I don't think we sell that many Windex bottles. But no, there's easy ways to reach out on social. It's on our website. There's always a form that said, what trigger would you like for us to build next? And we review those. I promise you, I look at them. I keep them every week and review them because it tells you the latest trends of what's going on.
Awesome. So. Well, guys, let Timney know and jump into our comments and let us know what you want to see Timney make. We'll certainly pass it along to them, but I'd be curious to see what you guys are interested in seeing next in the aftermarket trigger world. So Chris Oss from Timney Triggers, we appreciate you spending some time and joining us today. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to go back out to the range and shoot some Timney Triggers again. So we got to wrap it up, folks. We appreciate each and every one of you tuning in each and every week and hanging out with us and letting us be us, because we like being us. And without you, there is no us. So thanks for tuning in. Share this episode with someone you think may like it. Leave us some comments, reviews. We appreciate all of it. And we will see you right here on the next episode of the No Low Ballers Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Alan Forkner from the No Low Ballers Podcast here. And I'm talking to all the collectors and firearms enthusiasts out there. If you're on the hunt for exclusive high-end firearms, then look no further than CollectorsEliteAuctions.com. This is the premier auction site for serious collectors who are looking to find rare and collectible firearms, accessories, and memorabilia. At Collectors Elite Auctions, every auction is carefully curated, featuring some of the most sought-after pieces in the country. Whether you're looking to expand your collection or find that one unique item, this is where top-tier firearms meet serious bidders. And with easy-to-use online bidding, it's never been simpler to add items to your collection. So if you're ready to take your collection to the next level, or get started collecting, visit CollectorsEliteAuctions.com and start bidding today. Oh, and don't forget to listen to the No Low Ballers Podcast, where we dive into the history of firearms and the stories behind some of these incredible pieces. Brought to you by GunBroker.com.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.